You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This gardening feature is brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humans Garden Center.
And a very good morning, David. Welcome.
Hey, Jan, how are you?
I'm good, and you?
Lekker, we've seen each other a lot of late. It's been lekker.
We have, and this is
it's reversed roles.
This is reversed. What are we chatting about today?
I don't know how to read the news, so you do a good job there. I'll stick to the gardening feature, and as always in the beginning show of the month, I talk about what to do in the gardens for that month, Jan. So simply going to just go through my usual list, and then what we'll do is we'll just discuss, you know, what you should be doing. Remember, we're in our major growing period now. We've come through spring. Let me just get my bearings. November is the last month of autumn.
Spring, yeah.
So December is summer, so we should be full swing now. If you've got a really good irrigation system, you'll notice that in all my clients at the moment, everything is just growing like wildfire. So it's a good time of year. And funny enough, that correlates with my topic with Jeremy in 2 weeks' time. We still haven't quite finished the irrigation, Jan, so we're going to just talk about that. I mean, it's very important. You can see out there today, the wind is galing here. I mean, they reckon that about 4 p.m. today, it's going to be 50 k's an hour. So this type of wind, especially in this area, the heat, it really evaporates everything out the garden so quickly, Jan. So
it makes it so difficult to water.
Water, exactly. Yeah. And that's why I'm an advocate for a well-installed irrigation system, because you can set it for the AMs when the wind's a bit less, and also set it so that the water penetrates deeper and sits longer. But again, I will finish that topic off with Jeremy in 2 weeks. For now, I'm going to get into it, if that's okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Lekker. So, Jan, for the month of November, obviously being a winter rainfall region, although that is changing all over the world, the climate is going nuts at the moment. Hey? Besides war, which is terrible, there's just so much flooding and places that shouldn't have cold. Mm. I mean, the Free State was snow 2 weeks ago. So
yeah.
It's insane, Jan.
It is insane.
Anyways, we just got to cope with it, hey? So my first topic will be trees, shrubs, and climbers, as always. At this time of the year, you can feed your hibiscuses and your other flowering plants and shrubs. You're going to use, we've discussed many times about the feeding that, but you want to use something that's got a high nitrogen and a high potassium content, because the potassium is for the flowers, the strong flowering and the colors in the flowers, and your nitrogen is for the growth and to help, obviously, the plant sustain the flowering. You're going to plant your container-grown evergreens such as bottle brushes and grevilleas into the ground now. You can prune your ornamental fruit trees after they have flowered, and then you can take some tip cuttings of semi-woody shoots of Geraldton wax. Remove lower leaves, but be careful not to damage the bark. The Geraldton wax is such a beautiful plant. It's indigenous to Australia, but I always say to clients, you know, let's be honest, Australian and African plants are pretty much the same thing. Climate's very similar over there. So that's cool. One of my favorite things, as Jenny Sue knows, Jan, and you'll know, is roses. I absolutely love roses. Yeah. It's something beautiful. I've got a bit of a disease at the moment, and that's just the time of year. And if you're watering well, sometimes the water sits in the leaves. So it's important to watch. So for roses in the month of November, you want to regularly deadhead all the flowers. Obviously, the more you deadhead, like with annuals, the more flowers you will get. You want to feed roses likely after the spring flush. So you remember, roses do go dormant. You prune them in June, July, August. You normally do a lime sulfur spray and you give them like an organic based feed. Then they have a bit of a flower period in spring and then going out. And then now is a time where you deadhead. And obviously for the next few months, they're absolutely spectacular with good watering and a good feed. Now you'll have beautiful flower flushes right through summer. So those are also two. You can underplant the rose beds with annuals for more color. It's a very British thing, that, Jan. You know, okay. Very, very British garden when you come in and you've got all the beautiful borders of flowers under that. Mm-hmm. I find that in Cape Town, I try and avoid putting anything under the roses because they require a lot more watering and they require, and I like to just mulch and make sure that we keep them wet at their feet, you know. The prune the old roses and ramblers that bloom once in spring after flowering. That's obviously just to get them back. Sometimes the ramblers on your trellises and on your walls are a bit overgrown now. And then the cuttings, basically, if you take slips, you want to keep their little feet in water until they root, mm-hmm. and then plant them out that way. But I always find in this world, you know, everything is so fast paced, like your food must be fast food.
Yeah.
So people also know nobody wants to wait for a little slip to grow. Mm. And then in 5 years' time, you'll get your first flower. So, you know, that's why we love Jeremy from Harry Givens. You can go support him there. He's got a wonderful variety of plants at the moment. So pop in there and have to have a chat to some of the people there. My next favorite thing, because I hate that I love it so much, but lawns, I just love a good green lawn. They're beautiful. They take such effort, Jan, to keep in such good shape, you know.
Yeah.
Mowing every week now, good water, feed, mow the feed, water. I keep telling Jenny, Sue, that I will bring in an article, and I must find it. It was about God looking down at earth and saying to Michelangelo, like, what are all those square rectangle green things? And he's like, well, Lord, you know, they decided to remove all the beautiful weeds that you put there and make this. He says, what do they do? He's like, no, they pay to water it, pay to feed it, pay to mow it, pay to get it dumped, and then go back and buy the compost back from the people. So it's actually quite a joke. I do love, but I tell you, Jan, there's nothing like going into a home that's had a lawn freshly mowed or those beautiful lines.
Yeah, and the smell.
It just does something. Yeah. I don't know why. I just love it. So for lawns, obviously this time of year, depending on what lawn you do have, I know that a lot of the estates around this area, Jan, are very particular on making sure that the houses plant indigenous lawns. They are a little bit different to other lawns. I'm a bit of a fan of Kikui, which is an indigenous lawn to Kenya. It's hardy. It grows well, a dash of water, and it's up there, you know. So, but for lawns, you're going to sow or plant lawns or lay turf at this time of year. You can consider what grass seed to use. Different blends are available for fine or tough lawns, sun or shade, and various climates. Turf gives an instant finish. It's also available in different types, but it does cost more. Yes, it does. Mm. You're going to prevent floppy edging plants from creating bare patches on the lawn by staking them. So basically, like if you had the rose bed boring your lawn and you want to put those annuals in, Jan, the problem is they fall over, and then when you realize and you cut them back, it's sort of kept the shade on the lawn. So that's what that's saying. And I'm always something that I've learned of all the years of doing what I do, I like to have my lawn edged and bordered.
Right.
It just allows you to cut it constantly to something. You know, it's weird to tell you, but when even as skilled as my team is, because they're very skilled, when you cut the edge using the machines, and you know, you turn, so you go from cutting flat to turning sideways, you generally end up with the, like, de-shaping the edge of the lawn. Either the bed gets bigger or the, you know, so I'm a fan of putting like a cobble edge in or having a distinct definition between your lawns and your beds. It means that the lawn will remain that shape and healthy all year round. You can spray your lawns now at this time of year. I'd rather you found somebody that you can rely on, get them in there for the day, a weaning fork in a bag. It's always better. You just got to make sure he pulls out the roots. And then just a little bit of advice that I've seen all the time, even my staff do it sometimes and they don't do it anymore. But if you're weeding a lawn, you don't want to weed and throw the weeds in a pile. You actually want to make sure when you've got the weed out, you put it straight into a bag. Because believe it or not, where you throw in that pile, all the little seeds will fall off. And you're pretty much sort of allowing all the...
moving them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's very important when you weed to weed straight into a bag so that you do get rid of that spawn or that seed. I'm watering quite a lot in my home. I'm very privileged to have a wonderful well point, but I am mowing weekly at the moment. So if you've got Kikui or Berea lawn or anything, you're probably going to be mowing weekly at this stage of the year. Flowering plants. We're going to plant out the chrysanthemums and the dahlias. We're going to divide either. You can grow dahlias from cuttings or bulbs. I've just had my gladiolus flower, absolutely stunning. But again, it's amazing. And then it's one, I think they flowered for about 2-3 days when they're in their full flower.
Beautiful.
And I've just cut them down and I'll wait till next year.
Yes.
So
you had the pleasure.
We had the pleasure. Yeah. And it was right in our lounge window. So it was absolutely spectacular. I tell all my clients and I tell people who have bulbs, it's a weird thing to say, but you've got to remember that the bulb is exactly that. Once it's flowered and it's gone dormant, you cut it off sort of 2 centimeters below the ground level. So it's very important that you inform people where your bulbs are.
Right.
You've got a garden service coming and tell them like that area has bulbs, because, you know, there's a strange mindset when it comes to garden services that if the clients aren't there, I do it as well because it's about the look. You know, when a client gets home from a long day at work, they want to see the lawn mowed, they want to see the beds turn because it just sort of feels that, but I'm sort of advocating not to turn beds, because if you turn too vigorously with your spades and you're turning next to a very small plant, remember the roots of that plant are very shallow, Jan. Yeah. So if the guys aren't skilled enough and they take a spade in and right next to that beautiful plant, for example, and give it a rough turn, without them even knowing it, they've disturbed the roots in the ground, and then the plant will not be a happy plant. So
or a happy client.
Or a happy client, exactly. Right. The problem is that you only see it down the line, because once you've damaged the roots, it takes a few days or a week to get to that point. But again, it's just always a... I think there's one word that helps the world, and that's communication. If you're communicating well between yourself and your clients, or yourself and your gentleman that works for you in your garden, then you should be okay. But a lot of people actually lift their bulbs and put them in a container, and then they store them in their garage for a season, and then they replant them in that area.
Is that a good idea?
Yeah, you can do that. Okay. You can do that. You just got to make sure you literally take all the sand off of them, make sure they're dry, and then leave them in a cool, dry, airy space. Mm-hmm. So you'd poke holes in your container and just leave them in there. It's like an onion, you know. If you leave an onion too long, you see the little shoots start coming, or a potato. It's quite cute, man. Okay, cool. We're going to then you get a pinch prune plants such as Michaelia daisies to induce branching. So as we sort of mentioned earlier, annuals, when you can see like a petunia that's about to finish flowering, literally it's called pinching out. You just take your thumb and your forefinger, you squeeze below the plant and just pull it off. And then, but more you do that, the more you encourage the flowers. You're going to sow seed of perennials in a protected seeded seedbed or pots. Collect seed of annuals like poppies and macula and daisies. Something about fishhook that nobody knows, but if you drive in spring and fishhook, you see the poppies coming out the bloody cracks in the road.
It's amazing.
It's incredible. These beautiful big red. And that's something I've always loved and seen in fishhook in spring, and I think it's amazing. And then you go home and you try plant poppies, and you just can't get it to look the same. And these things are growing out the crack of the paving. I mean, nature's an amazing specimen. Okay, then we're going to move on to our last four subjects for the morning. Kicking off with rock and water gardens. I always tell Jenny Sue this. I'm always honest about what I do and I don't do. I'm not a fan of water gardens and rock gardens because... the water garden, because once you get a leak, it leaks. If it's not done properly, it can turn into a bit of a nightmare. So it's very important. Also, I'm not a specialist in water plants, and I was managing a client's one in town, and within just the turnover, 2-week turnover that we do, there was literally it was swamped with my driver called it duckweed. So if you don't know it, then just investigate that a little bit. But for now, you can continue to plant your aquatic bog and marginal plants. You're going to plant Agapanthus, Belladonna lilies, Gladioli, and Nernes. That's a new one for me. Nernes.
Nernes.
Nernes. You're going to thin out weak stems on clumps of established perennials and take softwood cuttings of perennials. Remember, perennial is a plant that is a forever plant.
Right.
And if you take care of it, you should be able to keep it around for quite a long period. Also, when you're doing rockeries and that, you want to make sure that you actually do base plant a little bit. Oh, we've got such sandy conditions in fishhook, but in a rockery, you want the sandy conditions. Everything that will go around a rockery more than a water feature will be like your succulent plants and your aloes and that.
Right.
So you need a bit of good drainage.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I just worked with a landscape architect for a client in Nordic, and I learned quite a lot from the lady, I must be honest. And we were planting naturally without compost and that, and she was actually saying that if you actually read about all our plants, they don't really like all that. They want, you know, if you go over a copse at the moment, it's stunning. The proteas are spectacular. The Watsonias, the red and the orange ones are all beautiful. There's a white plant that I've been trying to get a picture of to send to Jeremy to identify for me, but also just everything is in full flower, although we've had a wet winter, so there's a bit of moisture in the ground, and I think the plants do like that. But it's very important, guys. Cool. Then for container plants, we're going to plant up pots of pelargoniums, fuchsias, and summer annuals to reduce the need for constant feeding mixed slow-release fertilizer granules into your potting mix. You can also use like a vermiculite, which allows the water to be maintained in the pot a bit, Jan. That all helps, obviously. And then, obviously, mulching. I mean, I believe in mulch. And, you know, mulch doesn't mean it has to be bark. You can mulch with anything. Leaves, stones.
Wood?
Wood, 100%. Mm-hmm. As long as the definition of mulch is something that covers a layer of soil. So, and then just for a little bit of advice, if it's stone chip, it's not too bad. But if it's like a natural organic product like wood or something, you always want to make sure that you leave just the area around the stem of the tree open. Because if you go too close and it gets wet, it can actually cause rot and mold because it sits against the bark of the plant. And as we all know, the bark of the plant is the lifeblood to the tree or plant. It's what sends all the nutrients up. So right. That's why you hear that word ring barking. If people mm-hmm. remove a full ring of a bark around a tree or something, Jan, it's got no chance because it can't get the energy to where it needs to go. We're going to clip topiary specimens of bay, box, and Eugenia. We don't really do much topiary in South Africa, I've noticed. You know, you don't really – I think our topiary is like squares and triangles and balls and round.
Yeah.
That is topiary, but, you know, you go to Japan or something and it's just a different level. It's amazing.
It's art.
Yeah, and I thought about diving into that once, and I would love to, but I think it's just it's such a long process, to be honest. But I don't know if Jeremy Salzman, I must let you chat to him, but you can actually get – like a metal structure that's been fabricated, Jan, that has the shape of a bunny rabbit or a unicorn. Mm-hmm. And what we do is you obviously put that you plant like a small Eugenia in the middle of a pot, and you put that structure over. And what happens is it grows into that structure and eventually through. And all you got to do is you got to clip around it.
That's so cool.
So you can get those, and you do it yourself. To be honest, so I do like them, and I wouldn't mind some, to be honest.
Yeah.
And when it's done properly, and even though I drove past home the other day, and it was neatly outside, it had like a pyramids almost, and then balls, but it was almost like somebody's taken a measuring tool, and it does
perfect.
Look gorgeous in Constantia if you get it right. You know,
yeah,
it's cool. And then you're gonna feed and water indoor plants and refresh outside. That's for your container plants. I bought some indoor plants with my wife, and I've got to tell you, Jen, I'm having more trouble with those because they're very temperamental. You know, you don't water them for 2 days, they weep. Then you put too much water in, and then the water flows onto your wooden counters. And then you're battling this and that. And I've really found that it's something that's actually opened my eyes a little bit to having the proper setup, because it's obviously needs proper drainage, and that's why it's quite difficult, actually. Mm. And I think that's why everyone always buys annual plants for inside. 3 months of flower and that, and then you sort of toss it, you know, unfortunately, or keep the pot or whatever. Cool. Second last subject we're going to move on to. We're going to talk about – I just wanted to put it out there, Jan. If anybody wants to ask a question or anything, as you know, Jan,
absolutely.
We got the number up there. You want to shout it out for us?
Yes, 072-447-8044. Anything you need to know, this man has got all the answers for you.
I'm running a little bit late with the questions, so what we'd love to do, if you do send any questions, we can always deal with them in 2 weeks as well, Jan. We do have a record here, so – If you need to, as I said to you earlier, Jen, I'm going to hopefully finish off the topic of irrigation with Jeremy on 2 weeks' time from now. I think it's important, just in the way the weather's turning on us a bit, just to have a bit of a better understanding about that. So, cool. Vegetables and herbs. We're going to continue cutting asparagus from established beds. We're going to tie in tomato plants. We're going to sow summer vegetables such as beans, carrots, eggplants, marrow, pumpkins, melons, squash, sweet corns, Swiss chard, and salad vegetables. It's quite a long list, Jan. Mm-hmm. And again, if anybody wants to update them, they can always message in, and I can get you or Jenny Sue down the line to put that onto the WhatsApp message if people are interested. We're going to take cuttings of herbs such as rosemary, sage, and thyme, and we're going to divide mint and thyme plants. Basically, mint's a radic grow. I mean, it grows like wildfire.
Mint is and basil.
Yeah. Oh. Love the smell.
The smell.
But you find that mint, if you take mint out and you put it into your garden, you got to watch it, actually, when it's getting good water, and that it can grow like that. So a lot of time, I'll always keep mint in its own pot and let it trail over the sides. Close to the back kitchen door for the mojitos and the savannas, you know, and whatever you're making up in summer. Got to shake up the shaker, so... And cool. So we are a little bit ahead here, and we got 10 minutes left. I got one more topic, and then hopefully maybe somebody can ask a question. So the last of the topics for the month of November is your fruit. Again, I always said to you, Jan, I'm not when it comes to certain things, I always sort of say it takes so fruit trees, fruit planting, herbs, vegetables. Obviously, we can help install and do what you need to do, but once you've got a herb garden, it literally takes you as the owner of the herb garden, Jan, to come out every day, go have a look, turn over the leaves. You've got to look for the bugs or the pests or the diseases, you know. And remember, and that's why I tell clients this, because as a garden maintenance service provider, I don't have many clients that I go to once a week, but even a once a week client, I've got two of them. 7 days is too much. You need to be looking at it way more than within 7 days, because an insect can do
2-3 days,
or even
one
night.
Every day.
You know, exactly.
Just check every day.
Check. And there are some wonderful organic ways to keep your plants good from insects and that. And I'm also an advocate, and I keep saying these things, like, you know, our good old Jackie baby is very organic and that. Mm-hmm. I'm an advocate for organic side of planting, and we all have to realize that we've got to let the nature have its go a little bit, and some bug has to eat that plant to turn into the beautiful butterfly or two. So we've got to let nature be nature to a degree. But I think
without destroying.
Yeah, 100%. So let it eat a plant, you know, and then physically remove it from the other ones or so, I guess. But I've been having a bit of a problem with moles. And as you know, moles aren't a protected species. It's confusing because they are very destructive. But there's also, they're little runners. You can push them down. I think one of the best organic solutions is to just get this is called a solar mower. It's a vibrator. It has a little solar panel on top, and you stick it in, and it sends off every 10 seconds. I think there's they don't like the noise, I believe, because, you know, they're blind on the ground. So they got a massive sensor here, and it sends off quite a hefty vibration. But again, do your research, because I think you need one every 30 squares or something, Dan. So you've got to make sure you have enough. I've got a client who they've worked very well for in Fishhook. But I've also got some clients who cry every day. They've got these big June moles.
Yeah, I've got one running in a bed.
Yeah. Have you got the June mole or have you got the runner mole?
A little pile and I've got a runner.
Okay, so you've got the runner. Yeah. So when I first moved back into my home, I mean, I had the June moles. Like, they're called June moles because they literally push up. Mm. It's insane, you know.
Sand dunes.
100%. And you know what also happens, if you don't realize, is they all that sand has come out from underneath your ground.
So you can't believe it.
You've got to put it back, otherwise you just end up with a hollow pit underneath your house, you know. And your house collapses on the side.
No, let's not.
No, I don't think I've ever heard of that, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so,
but it looks like it.
It could be. Yeah. Anyway, so we're going to – yeah, and then – so that's why I was talking about fruit trees. That's why I was saying to you, Jen, that, you know, we can help you do anything you want, but if you want fruit trees or if you want herbs and veggies and that, it's really important that you take charge of it as the owner of the house and have somebody that can help you manage it daily, and that's what I was getting to. So for the final topic, Jen, of fruits, you're going to spray, feed, and water your fruit trees well. Do not feed newly planted citrus, but mulch with compost rather. Remove blossoms from newly planted fruit trees to encourage strong new wood. Thin out fruit on peach and plum trees when pea-sized. So remember, it's weird. It's like generational. So you want your first generation to go so that the tree gets stronger. And then you get your second generation of fruits coming through. I was talking to you earlier about the landscape architect I work for. Pretty different to how I work, because it was quite eye-opening, and we were planting big trees there, and I was like, normally I stake these trees. And he said, but you know, Dave, that's exactly it. The trees aren't supposed to be staked. You know, they grow up as saplings in the wild. The wind blows, they snap, they reshoot. If they don't snap, they're 10 times stronger for the new season. And, you know, as you can see today, we need them to be strong with the wind. So I believe in it. And then you're going to thin out the fruit. We just said that. And then last but not least, Jan, for Monday, we're going to collect seeds from your local pawpaw and sow direct or in pots. Feed existing pawpaw trees. I must say, I haven't had too many clients with pawpaw trees.
But don't like pawpaw.
Not a nice flavor, mm-mm. Hey?
Mm-mm. All the smell.
All the smell. All right, John, that's me. That's me in a nutshell. Literally on a fruit tree.
You know. Well, you know what, David? You are such a mine of information.
Thank you so much,
anybody who wants to know anything, please let us know, and we will certainly 100%. Pass it on to you. Onto David. It's been great being
Thank you,
in the
Jan.
Studio
Thank you,
with
Jan.
You.
If you don't mind, I'm going to just give up my details. Absolutely. So if anybody needs to get hold of me, they can. Obviously, we offer free quotations. So it's David from Budding Inspirations. My cell number is 073-247-0351. And my email address is buddinginspirations@gmail.com. If you need any of that info, my wonderful Jan over here or anybody in studio can pass it on to you. And as always, Jan, it's been so lucky to see you, man.
And
enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I hope you have a good week.
Thanks,
see you soon.
David.
Cheers, Jan. Bye.
Bye.
This gardening feature was brought to you by Harry Humann's Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humann's Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Khumann's Garden Center.